A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Here's the 1-2 to Verdugo. Breaking ball, cut on a miss. Strike three. Ball game over. World Series over. Dodgers win. Los Angeles is the new champion, and they're going nuts on the field. I don't blame them. When you see them jump around like this, boy, there's reason for it. They deserve it. They erased a 5-0 lead tonight. The Yankees helped. And the Dodgers win the ball game by the score of 7-6.
Oh, my God. Oh! Oh, yeah! Man, that just gave me a pants 10. I'm sorry, but hearing the Yankees be miserable after their season came to an unexpected end last night, oh, God, just injected into my veins. I found out, Joe, last night that, yes, I did have a rooting interest in the Fall Classic. I hate that godforsaken franchise and that stupid-ass city up in the Northeast with the power of a thousand suns. In fact, my hatred could probably power the entire Texas grid that doesn't work anymore. Oh, God, I'm so pumped.
That was very fun to watch the Yankees lose like that. I also would like to start the show today by apologizing for being a bad teammate and not wearing a Halloween
costume. Yeah, I don't like you. I don't like you right now.
Honestly,
I'm kind of disappointed. Sean, what are you dressed up as?
Utah quarterback Cam Rising.
I love it.
And the best part is I don't think he can see us.
I can see that you're there.
You're not wearing glasses.
I'm
That's
not
true.
Glasses.
So you have Sean has no idea what I look like. I'm dressed up.
I have an idea.
Like Jon Snow.
I can look on the screen here.
I've got the top knot version of Jon Snow because I thought this wig would be okay. Now, we're in danger. I have to rush home after this because my cat ate part of it, and apparently you die if you do that. So this is a little bit concerning. Poor Arya's safety is in the back of my mind, but at the very least for the next 2 hours and 56 minutes, we can revel in the misery of Yankees fans who will always have the 2017 World Series. They'll always have it. I mean, there's an asterisk next to it, but just like they almost had 2004 and 2017, they also almost had last night.
Yeah, and they'll bring it up again next year when they go deep in the playoffs and they get asked about, you know, trying to win a World Series for the first time. They won't mention this World Series or all the other times the Astros beat them. They'll just bring up 2017.
Yeah.
Because they'll always have
They'll always have it. They could raise a banner.
Yeah.
And look, listen, I'm an equal opportunity hater. You think the Dodgers are going to survive today? Only 12 people arrested. You guys, you've
Soft.
Lost your fastball. I thought, you know, a Los Angeles major event without at least 13 arrests is considered a dull affair. I guess you don't really care about it. Bandwagon sports town. It's fine. And I mean, there's another asterisk attached to this Los Angeles Dodgers title because, Joe, they won this with Clayton Kershaw and his potbelly not actually pitching in the series. And you have to win a World Series that's not just in a bubble. You have to win a World Series where Clayton Kershaw is there to potentially do what Garrett Cole and the New York Yankees did to themselves in the fifth inning.
Also, to extend that asterisk, Paul, that little bitch, Joe Kelly, also was not out there. He's injured and not on the playoff roster. Saw him celebrating after the game. Doesn't count.
At least Joe,
fake World Series.
At least Joe Kelly's done anything of note in the playoffs. I mean, Clayton Kershaw, one of the biggest playoff chokers of all time, much like the New York Yankees. And yeah, I'm just going to hate on everything in that World Series. Can we relive the fifth inning? Can we relive the fifth inning? Aaron Judge, I mean, I thought he just sucked at the plate. He made his first error of the year, right here.
I would like to... Oh, sorry.
With a heating up Judge, who settles under this ball, but then drops it. Can Hernandez get to the bag before the throw? He does. On a routine play, Aaron Judge just flubs it in center field.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I would like to congratulate Aaron Judge, though, on one thing.
Paul. What did he get?
For passing Lance McCullers in career RBIs in the World Series. Because he did do that yesterday. He has two. Lance McCullers has one.
Well, good for him.
So congrats to Aaron Judge on passing a pitcher.
He's trending upwards.
Yes.
A good thing Brian Cashman gave him and Garrett Cole, what, combined $680 million or so. Here's Garrett Cole forgetting that he has to cover the bag on a ground ball to first base.
Ground ball right side. Rizzo. Nobody at first. Incredible! Atrocious defense from the Yankees leading directly to a Dodger run in the fifth.
Oh, no. I mean, there's a graphic, and
it shows with two outs and the bases loaded, a ground ball going to first base. And Gerrit Cole looks like he is going towards first base. And it is incredible to look at that moment where it's 5-0. That still image. And think to yourself, the Dodgers would score 5 runs in that same frame and tie the game up.
I mean, Gerrit Cole is, we think that's like 4 feet off the mound, moving towards first base. Mm-hmm. He points to first base, and then the ball just kind of dribbles to Anthony Rizzo.
I love the point. The
point. Yeah, he's like, hey, that's you. That's you.
That's the bag.
Oh, my God.
That's
not, it's not my job.
Inject it into my veins.
What a disaster play for
Gerrit
Cole.
What, like, bad NBA teams do after they get scored on. They just start pointing at each other. That's what Gerrit Cole did in the World Series.
Yeah, it's like a very, like, LeBron James thing to do. When he doesn't doesn't have effort on defense, and he points at the other guys on the Lakers, being like, that's your guy. And he's like, nah, dude, that was your guy. And that's what Gerrit Cole did.
3 errors in 1 inning. I saw Gerrit Cole in the dugout afterwards smashing the top rail. Oh, God. Man, I'm a real piece of crap for as much as I enjoy the misery of others. This is really what I have to live for, seeing as all my teams have won. So now I just like to see other teams fail, specifically the ones I don't like. Gerrit Cole was interviewed after the game. I don't know if he was wearing a Scott Boras hat. I haven't seen it. I also don't know if Juan Soto was wearing a Scott Boras hat.
He was not.
Okay, good for Juan Soto. But he said he's open to any team. I love hearing that right after they lose. Like, oh, yep, and you're going to lose this guy. Here's Gerrit Cole weighing in on the end of the road.
Gerrit, how hard overall is this for you and your teammates, considering what the ultimate goal was and not having a chance to get there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is like... this is like as bad as it gets. I mean, it's like kind of the, you know, it's the worst feeling that you can have, especially because, you know, you have to keep, you know, sometimes willing yourself to believe and, you know, to give yourself a chance. And, you know, you just keep pushing. And, you know, ultimately we came up short. And that just, yeah, it's brutal.
Oh, okay. We finally got to the point. Good job.
Wonder what he's going to say.
Today, Junior.
He's going to say it's the worst moment of his life. It's brutal.
Yeah. Brutal. He did pitch well for the Astros, but and perhaps he has been unfairly characterized because AJ Hinch did forget to put him back in Game 7 of the 2019 World Series. But, oh, man, last night I felt something again. I felt alive being the president of the Player Haters Ball, watching both of those teams, just thinking to myself, I'm going to find a way tomorrow to just dump on both of them no matter who wins.
I mean, maybe he deserved a pass until that play. Like that is now what defines Gerrit Cole,
mm-hmm.
is to not cover first base.
Oh.
Because in the past, he's like, well, if AJ would have put me in, like... we've been fine.
He could stay with the Astros. He'd have a World Series.
Exactly. He could stay with the Astros. He could go to just any winning franchise. Hell, he could have gone to the Dodgers. He'd have 2 World Series rings.
Yeah.
Instead, didn't cover first base.
Mm-hmm.
Pointed at it. Everyone knew where it was.
Yeah.
Right there.
He did highlight. Listen, he's not paid to do that.
That's where Mookie Betts is running right now.
Maybe he was telling that's where the Yankees fans are supposed to attack.
I know. Yankees fans, what are you doing there?
Seize him. Is that what he said?
Tackle.
Tar and feather him in the midst of the outfield. Oh,
where's
yeah.
Gian Bianco or whatever that guy's name was?
So, look, we'll relive some moments from that game over the course of the show. If you want to laugh at the Yankees' expense, you can. Does kind of suck that the Dodgers now have as many World Series as the Astros over this run. And yeah, we're putting asterisks to the side of it, but we do need to have the eventual Astros-Dodgers World Series. I hope that it happens next year because I want to shut them up forever. But hey, listen, the Dodgers, they have this asterisk title in addition to the other asterisk title. Big game for the Texans tonight. They are underdogs against the New York Jets. In Thursday night football action. It's spooky. Happy Halloween. What are you scared of in this game tonight? Mr. Scared himself, Joe George. Joe, you are often scared. You're a warrior. You're a warrior.
Today, my Halloween costume is to be a super happy Texans fan.
Okay.
Confident Texans fan?
Okay. Confident Texans fan.
Okay. Well, you generally, your Bears blood comes in and you find ways to worry. Is Joe scared of anything in this game coming up tonight? We'll discuss. It's Gallant.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
A goal we had was to start fast, and you know, I believe that, you know, we've been putting on some good ball, but we have a lot to still clean up. And, you know, it's just exciting times. You know, it's coming into the two hardest months of ball is, you know, November and December. You know, we get to in October on a prime time game, and, you know, it's going to be a great matchup against the Jets. And, you know, we got to be able to be ready and try to finish October the right way.
That's C.J. Stroud at his press conference yesterday, talking about the New York Jets, the challenges that they pose. The Jets are, believe it or not, still favorites in this game. I can't believe that the line has not shifted, Joe.
I thought it was going to move back. At least move back to a pick'em. And then it basically is 2 points. It's, you rarely ever see NFL games, it feels like. But the Texans open as 1-point favorites on Sunday, and then it's flipped to 2. I guess it's all Stephon Diggs. Or maybe it's the short week, traveling for the first time. What we talked about yesterday, C.J. Stroud's first Thursday night game. A lot of young players on this roster.
And I imagine Vegas is trying to get people to bet on the game, because that is pretty tempting. I mean, the Jets just lost to the Patriots. Wait, they're favorites on Thursday night football. And I think the problem is that, one, the Texans really don't have that much cachet nationally, so people aren't jumping on them. And two, I think a lot of people that have paid attention to them believe that they have underachieved and that the Jets actually could pull this off. And I'll admit it, I think the Jets could actually pull this off.
Yeah, I kind of been talked into it a little bit, just in hearing more people, you know, kind of analyze this game and thinking about it more and more. You're right about Vegas, though. Vegas, I think the national media is still kind of catching up to what is going on with Houston. You know, like, you always pick and choose who you listen to, but I was listening to Ryan Russillo's podcast, him and Todd McShay, on Monday, and they were both talking about how maybe the Texans are being overlooked. But if you look at the, like, the Super Bowl odds for this year, the Texans have fallen to 9th in Super Bowl odds at this point. They've moved to plus 1,600 behind, and the only other team that's tied with them is the Vikings right now. So they're dropping back pretty far in terms of Vegas. So, and they always know first. They always know. They always know. I don't understand how they know. Like, I guess it's just because they watch everything and they have to have people that actually get the game. But they do not view the Texans the way I think a lot of people do. And they're more similar to us.
I think a lot of people right now are in this please prove it to me box.
Well, you here got a chance.
And I think if they do win on Thursday, they do deserve credit. It's a short week, and they did just lose to Stephon Diggs. I do think, though, it's going to be yet another case of that don't impress me much amongst Texans fans. And I do get it to a degree, but this one is going to be tough. And look, last year they lost to this team 30-6 with Zach Wilson under center. They were similarly banged up. I think they were missing both tanked out. Was Nico Collins out in that game? I felt like they were missing a lot on offense. They couldn't make anything happen. And then, of course, C.J. Stroud leaves the game. I don't know how similar to last year's defense these Jets are. It does feel like you can run against them, so maybe just give the ball to Joe Mixon 20 to 30 times or so. But there are reasons to look at the Jets as spooky tonight.
Yeah, Nico Collins said he must have played, but maybe he got hurt. He had one catch for 13 yards.
Yeah, so maybe they just shut him down.
I mean, C.J. Stroud was 10 for 23 for 91 yards, and then Davis Mills was 1 for 5 for 4 yards. So he was crushing it on offense.
I'm pretty sure Nico Collins got hurt
I think
in
he did
that game.
Yeah,
I think
and he
missed the rest of the game after like his first catch.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, I mean, think about the turf at MetLife Stadium. So there was an article. This is from November of last year. MetLife Stadium in New York has seen 17 very serious injuries in just 3 seasons. Artificial grass could be one of the main causes. I think Micah Parsons had an issue with it. And then, I mean, think about that. Like, the Texans-Jets game was a couple of weeks after that story came out. So you want to be spooked out on Halloween? Ooh, spooky! MetLife Stadium field.
Yeah, I think that's number one on my list.
It's the scariest thing.
Well, look what it's done to people.
It's taking people out.
I took out Rodgers' Achilles. Just popped right there on the
field.
Yeah,
the little rubber band.
Yeah, I don't want to see that happen tonight.
Aaron Rodgers discovered the Fountain of Youth. We touched on this. It's quite an interesting concoction.
Yes, it's not tea.
It's not tea, but it's
tea.
It's cayenne pepper and water.
Should we try? Should we get some cayenne pepper?
I mean, it sounds like a hardo saltwater gargle.
That's what I was. Yeah, like it can't taste. I feel like the cayenne pepper taste would be just diluted by the water, and it would just taste like weird water.
It's like, hey, you're eating tahine. I don't know.
But you have several health benefits, apparently.
I guess.
Pain relief.
I don't believe that at all. His holistic BS honestly drives me crazy.
Well, maybe after your next flag football game. Like, if you're not feeling great the next day, yeah, try it out.
The cleats did come in the mail today, so we might be back. But, yeah, all these con artists out there who are pushing this stuff, this holistic stuff, like, they should all be put in jail.
Did you do TB12?
Again, it's a free market economy. What?
Did you do TB12?
No, I have the book. I read it.
I had to ask.
I read it. I thought it was funny.
Okay.
But I mean, listen, as much as I think Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior, do you think I'm going to live by that book?
No. I thought you might have for like, maybe no. Like, tried it for like a 2 week.
No, once you leave, once you're a recovering Catholic, as I am, and maybe I'll come back someday. I think I have to since I'm a godfather now. But as a recovering Catholic, once you leave the book is hard to get back into, you know? And the TB12 method, especially seeing as it seems like Tom Brady's kind of distanced himself from that. Yeah, it's kind of tough to get back in there. You know?
But yeah, the people who've always pushed this kind of stuff, strange people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Certain teas.
I'm reading one article about cayenne pepper water.
Yeah.
I don't understand how it helps you be a better football player.
No,
like all the benefits, it's potential benefits include reduced appetite, improved metabolic and gastrointestinal health, and potential protection against cancer. Which I don't know about the last one. They might get sued for that last one.
You think so?
I mean, you can't say it helps.
Yeah,
you.
Let's just make like Sean's not saying
yes,
that.
This is from
website is saying
livestrong.com.
Well, I don't know. Consider your source.
All right.
I mean, for a time, Livestrong was doing pretty well.
It's true.
Livestrong did do a lot of good. Did the end justify the means? Lance Armstrong cheated to save people from cancer.
That's true.
Coming up next on ESPN 97.5.
Just like the Astros cheated to give you guys a ring. Yeah. Listen, Lance Armstrong cheated to cure cancer. What's
I
wrong?
I supported. I had those yellow wristbands.
Yeah, I did too, I think, for a little bit of time.
I think everyone did.
Yeah. What scares you about Texans-Jets tonight? Ocho Texto texts in, Joe, your fear for this game. I feel like we both have a little fear for this game. Is justified because not only will the Texans lose this game for multiple reasons, but the loss could be compounded by more injuries on this horrible turf or a death by Quinnen Williams. Ocho continues saying, I seriously wish the Texans could forfeit this game and cut their losses. Damn, dog.
I think I saw Ocho text that yesterday. It would have been nice at this game just because that field's terrible. When the players last year were the movement was happening for bringing in grass and all these fields, it's all centered around MetLife. Like, all of that, it's all these Giants and Jets games. Like, there are injuries that seem preventable, and everyone kind of focuses in on that. And at the same time, some of these stadiums that are bad, they're rolling in grass for any time a soccer team comes in, and they bend to their will so that they can fill up a stadium. And they're just like, sure, like, we'll change the field for you, but not for the actual players. The worst part about this game is that it's on national television.
Yeah.
And that if the national media is not caught up with you yet, and the Texans play the way they've played, they're going to become super irrelevant. That's one thing I've noticed about the Texans, Paul. They are the most irrelevant 6-2 team I've ever seen.
We're just saying something because, I mean, there's some other 6-2 teams right now that I think we're all giving a bit of a side eye to. I would specifically point to the Pittsburgh Steelers of all of those teams. Even if Russell Wilson is moonballing it to George Pickens, I still am skeptical that he is back to being the guy that he used to be. People are excited about the Commanders who are 6-2. People are looking at the Packers who won another game with Malik Willis finishing it at 6-2 and thinking, damn, I mean, really, Jordan Love's the guy that I think is holding the Packers back at this point in time. Vikings are 5-2, so maybe you're a little bit skeptical about them, but they did smoke the Houston Texans. Ravens are 5-3. Yeah, maybe the Broncos, who are also 5-3, are similarly like, yeah, okay. Which is funny, because one team has C.J. Stroud and the other has Bo Nix.
At least Bo Nix is a new story. If you go to ESPN.com, like, unless it's a DJ Bieniemy story or The Athletic or The Ringer or any of these major websites, the Texans are just missing in action. Like, people are just apathetic towards them nationally at best, that they do not take them really serious right now. And your next three games are in prime time. If you want to prove you're a real Super Bowl contender, this is your window to do it. Like, this is, like, from a national narrative perspective, this window, this stretch is just as important as the Chiefs and the Ravens game at the end of the season, because you're on Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night football three weeks in a row.
If you care about perception of you now, I mean, you could spin zone it this way. You lose those three games so that no one's thinking about you at the end of the year.
Yeah, but then you got Joe Flacco chasing you down.
Yeah, that's true. Although they seem to be amassed. We'll talk about the AFC South and the 1245 segment. The Colts situation, I thought they handled it well, but then hearing them talk about it, I feel a little bit less good about what they are doing, moving on from Anthony Richardson turning to Joe Flacco. Text in from the 832. It's not like the Texans beat the Bills and were a couple of good coaching calls from beating the Packers on the road. I mean, for sure. But we're still waiting for them to play that complete game. It hasn't happened yet. That doesn't mean that they necessarily need to blow a team out. But I would like to see a rather convincing throttling of a team with a pulse. The Patriots were not one. The Patriots now seem to have a bit of one, but it took their coach saying that they're soft. I don't think that's why they ended up winning that game on Sunday. I think it's because they played a Jets team that is also in the same kind of boat. And even though the Jets do seem dead at this moment in time, last year has me concerned, and the short week has me concerned. It's the first time the Texans are dealing with that.
I do think that the 30-6 loss last year, if you win tonight's game by, you know, by just a touchdown or just win it all, it should boost morale a little bit. I feel like it should make you feel a little bit better than some of their other wins this season, just because it is a straight compare and contrast, basically, to last year's team. The Jets are essentially the same football team, except they've added Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
And Hassan Reddick, who was already on the team, but they added him.
Yeah.
So now in the building.
They have three guys who were not on the Jets last year who are on them now. And so their talent-wise, they're significantly better. Now, that hasn't resulted in anything, but they made you 36 last year. So if you win this game, at least it's not what happened last year.
There you go.
Positive.
He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. By the way, tonight we're going to be watching the Texans and Jets, a watch party at Nick's Place as we send off John Granato and Lance Zierlein to the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. Who's under the most pressure in tonight's Thursday night football game? Al Michaels trying to keep attention to the game? Is it a Texan? Is it Kenyon Green? Is it D'Amico Ryans? Who is it? We'll discuss. Stay put.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Who is under the most pressure in tonight's Thursday night football game? Texans-Jets. The Jets are two-point favorites, which is mind-boggling. Joe, let's start with you. Who's under the most pressure?
D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico.
Because he's making a very bold, strange decision to stick with Kenyon Green.
We think.
You're right. They might, you know, I know Aaron Wilson, can be spotty, usually pretty good, said that they consider going to Kendrick Green, but they're likely going to stay with Kenyon Green. Too many Greens still. One of them's got to go. I think one will. But if they stick with Kenyon Green and Quinnen Williams just starts murdering C.J. Stroud, we, rightfully so,
murdering like you can do it multiple times.
True.
That's scary.
Crucify D'Amico.
Whoa. Yes. Like, not literally, though.
Not literally. Figuratively.
Right. And he's not under that much.
I mean, I'm not the one with the sword in my hand.
Yeah, I'm king of the North. I'm dressed up as Jon Snow, but I had to take off my armor. I am sweating bullets right now. This is brutal. I am not. Listen, I might be doing Magnum PI at the listener party tonight.
You might have to change it up a little bit.
Dude, I like, this thing is drenched. I'm dying. This is awful.
I thought that nothing could be worse than, or not worse, but just worse for you than the Batman costume last year. Because I remember that one was one where it got disassembled during the show.
Did I disassemble it during the show?
A little bit.
I don't remember that. Okay. Took off the gloves. Yeah, definitely took off the gloves. I can't type anything with it. But anyway, by the way, someone texted in, Joe looks like he's dressed as Bill O'Brien. I can kind of see it. You got the hoodie on.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that. You got a Texans hat on.
I got to start yelling at people.
Yeah. You would be wearing a Red Sox hoodie instead of a Texans.
Where's the
hat?
You need a marker for the chin.
I like our intern, so I'm not going to yell at her. Who can I yell at? Where are the bees?
Oh, Brian's next door.
Blame Joel. That always goes great.
Oh, they'll be at next place, so I can't yell at them yet.
So, D'Amico Ryan's under the most pressure, and while you believe that we will be verbally crucifying him Sunday if things don't get better.
Yes. C.J. Stroud's been under duress so much this season, and it worked. Like it was one drive with Jared Patterson, but it looked so much better. And then it was bad again as soon as Kenyon Green came back onto the field. So to make this decision as the head coach of this football team, to stick with Kenyon Green, seems illogical to me. To either not go to Kendrick Green or not to move Titus Howard to left guard and Blake Fisher at right tackle for at least a week until you can make a trade. Those are way more logical decisions than deciding to stick with Kenyon Green, who sucks at football right now.
Yeah, he's not playing well. I mean, I hope he gets better. I feel bad for him, too.
Yes, for sure.
Because I don't think this is because of a lack of effort. But at the same time, at a certain point, you got to make some tough decisions. Sean, I believe I sent in an audio clip of D'Amico Ryans talking about Kenyon Green from Tuesday, because D'Amico keeps on getting questions about Kenyon. Here is D'Amico Ryans.
Kenyon is done fine. Kenyon, of course, like I said, yesterday he had some bad plays. A lot of guys had some bad plays, you know, and everybody's asking about Kenyon, and nobody feels, you know, worse about this than Kenyon, right? And nobody, he knows he has to play better. He will play better, and let's go to work. Like, that's what it's about. It's not about everybody trying to figure out, is Kenyon out? And like, unless Kenyon is ready, he'll be ready to roll, and we won six games with Kenyon. Like, we got to keep going.
Kenyon is ready. We'll be ready to roll. And we won six games with Kenyon Green.
I kind of hate that comment there at the end, because it's irrelevant.
What?
We won six games with Kenyon.
They did, though.
Cool.
But factually, he's correct.
Yes, he is 100% correct. But it's Kenyon Green's reason. He's the reason they've won six games.
It was a team sport. He's just as much a reason as Joe Mixon.
Maybe he's not the reason why. Maybe he's the reason why they haven't won eight games.
That's also a fair
just
point.
Just saying. You know, well, I can't give him the Vikings game. That's not a Kenyon Green.
the Green Bay one.
Yeah.
Vikings more than just Kenyon.
Yeah, maybe they're 7-1 without Kenyon Green. You never know.
I think the guy with the most pressure tonight is Aaron Rodgers. I think he is physically going to be under the most pressure. I feel like you're going to get a lot out of Will Anderson, who is now the AFC Defensive Player of the Month, and Danielle Hunter in this game. I think they are going to be swarming after him all game long. And look, Rodgers' legacy is at stake a little bit here. I mean, if he can't go off on his own and succeed like we saw Tom Brady do, like we saw Peyton Manning do, I mean, doesn't this keep him from ultimately being in the best quarterbacks of all time conversation? Doesn't this make him on the outside looking in due to a variety of different reasons where, you know, Dan Marino, everyone who watched him loved what they saw. I'll admit, I only saw a little bit of Marino, but Marino never won a Super Bowl. That's always held against him. Is this something that gets held against him? He had the one Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. Okay, he did have it, but Eli Manning has more than him. I mean, look at it from that perspective.
Yep. I mean, John Elway is more than him.
And Elway, for his whole career until the last couple of years, like, everyone was wondering, oh, can he win the big one? And he wins the two big ones, and it's a totally different story. He has, these last 2 years, been pretty damn ineffective. And then think about the last couple of years as well, where they have all these playoff disappointments, and he's complaining about the situation that he's in, and then he leaves, and that situation is still just as good as it was before.
I wonder.
I mean, the Packers have been good the last 2 years.
They have been, and they're a legit Super Bowl contender right now with Jordan Love. Like, they're better off. They should be praising that Aaron Rodgers wanted to leave. They are way better off without him. And you're right. I didn't even think about it that way. With Peyton Manning and Tom Brady having success, winning Super Bowls with other franchises, and, you know, Peyton going to two Super Bowls. And he was great in the first one, even though they lost with the Broncos.
He was great up to the first one.
Yeah. That was the record-breaking game.
They lost 43-8 in that game, though. up to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. And then he was very bad in the Super Bowl. They won.
Yes, correct.
But they won it.
And he got benched like for Brock Osweiler that year.
But
I mean, it was crazy.
If Rodgers can't accomplish, I mean, he's got to get to 500. It definitely hurts his legacy.
Yeah. Brett Favre was more successful leaving Green Bay than
he was better in Minnesota and Rodgers. In New York.
And in New York, yeah. You're right.
Like there's so many guys that are more successful on their second stop than I didn't. Joe Montana make the
Montana made the playoffs with the Chiefs. Yeah, they beat the Oilers. Yeah,
like there's so many guys that are more successful than four plays. Whatever you tear your Achilles, that's not all on him. And like this year, they're 2-6.
He got his coach fired.
He's
gotten every receiver he's wanted. Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Davante Adams are all with him.
Yeah. People remember what you did last. I mean, Brady's won 3 Super Bowls since his last Super Bowl win. And again, Tom Brady, you know, different kind of stratosphere. But
Peyton has won one more.
Exactly. Recently. It's one of those things where it's kind of unfair, perhaps. But his legacy is at stake. And I think if the Jets lose this game, I mean, it's crumbling even more than it's already crumbling.
You think he's the Jets quarterback next year?
No. I think he retires. Honestly, I feel like when this year goes the way it looks like it's going.
Yeah.
Even if they win tonight, like, I still feel like we all know what's ultimately going to happen. Like that head coach, that poor guy, Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking about sitting on things for 6 days.
Inappropriate.
Well, listen, sitting on a loss for 6 days is more difficult than sitting on a loss for 4 days. He's not turning this thing around. Like that man belongs in a IPA brewery, you know, with his very well manicured beard. You know, give that man an apron and get rid of his headset.
Yeah, I think he'll either retire or just end up on a different team and just go full Aaron Rodgers this offseason, demand a trade, and just end up somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I don't think he finishes his career with the New York Jets. I feel like he has to know. He acts like he is a guy that does not care about legacy. He so clearly does. It's so obvious.
He's one of those guys where he wants you to know he doesn't care too. And yeah. I don't know if it's obvious, but I'm with you in that. I mean, who couldn't? Why are you still playing if you didn't care?
See, I think the people who tell you that they don't care
the most.
Always care the most. Like the more he's like, I don't care what the media says. I don't care what my teammates say. I don't care what any of this narrative is around me. To me, it just reeks of insecurity and someone that cares a ton.
Hmm. Sean, who do you think's under the most pressure?
I think it's Kenyon Green. Just because he is the like face of the Texans failing on the offensive line, which, if we're being honest, isn't 100% fair to him. Like
Juice Scruggs also is.
Yeah. Like he's been bad. Don't get me wrong that Green's been bad, but it's not all on him.
Him being benched is a sign though that the Texans think he's been bad enough to be benched. No other offensive lineman has been benched. Right. So, I mean, Scruggs probably has some things that he's got to clean up, too, if he wants to stay out there.
Yeah, but at least he gets the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Mm-hmm. He was hurt for part of the season last year. He played left guard for part of the season last year. And so he's in his second year. He was not the 14th overall pick in the NFL draft. He was, what, a second or a third round pick for the Texans. So, now he needs to be better, yes, but he's not under as much pressure as Kenyon Green because he just – it's just not.
He didn't get benched last week.
Yes.
And then have to get put back in the game because of injury. So, right. Yeah, I think it's Green really as like all the offensive line because, you know, with the Texans losing weapons on offense, they are going to have to be more of a run the ball kind of team. They're going to have to control the line of scrimmage a little bit more and be more of a run or a defense first, complementary offense kind of team. And that's something that you do need a good offensive line to pull off.
Correct.
And that's really been the biggest hurdle that they've had all year when they're fully healthy was the offensive line.
For sure. Texans and Jets, Thursday Night Football, and we'll be watching it at Nick's place. So come join us as we send off John Granato, Lance Zierlein, to the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. Eric the Driver says, from most to least pressure, Al Michaels. Al's doing a great job, I think, this year. Honestly, I think this has been one of his finer seasons.
It's really what I'm looking forward to the most for this game.
Al Michaels commentary?
Yeah. Hearing Al Michaels.
Aaron Rodgers, Kenyon Green, D'Amico Ryans, Tank Dell, and then Stroud.
Stroud and Dell are good calls for not the most, but they have some pressure on them.
Stroud literally is always under pressure.
Yes.
That too. It's like 70% of the time.
Due to Kenyon Green. Well, Andrew Scruggs.
Yeah.
Do you think Al Michaels breaks his steak rule on Halloween?
No.
Like
why? What's he going to eat?
Why would he?
No, it's like, do you think like a Hershey chocolate on the side?
No, that guy's
steak.
It's a steak night.
Maybe like a coffee crusted steak.
I'm sure we'll hear about. I mean, depends how good this game is. We'll hear about what his candy weakness is because he seems like a guy who like has a weakness for like M&Ms or something. So we'll probably hear about it, but I think it's still going to be steak.
Is Kirk's dog going to eat chocolate?
Oh.
What?
Come on.
It'll kill him.
It will?
Yeah.
Oh. Just asking questions.
Chocolate and grapes kill dogs.
Grapes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Great question.
Something about how they digest.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You guys don't tell me. Explain it to me like I'm five. Come on.
I just know. It's just one of those things I was just talking.
It hurts their tummies real bad.
Yeah. Apparently, eating a wig hurts a cat's tummy. So, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of freaking out about my cat right now.
You can.
No. Listen, she's a cat. Like we get to the end of the show, but at the end of the show, we take care of her. I do love cat. What? I do love cat.
Much like the real Jon Snow, you are also worrying about Arya.
Watch you in the wall. Okay. I'm a bastard born of Winterfell, and some of them giving me this honor of King of the North. I don't even want it. I didn't even want it. Ygritte, bring that ass over here.
I'll be honest, Paul.
What?
It's not your best.
What, the accent? Yeah.
It's closer.
I don't know what it is.
It's closer to Tormund than it is Jon Snow.
Or just like the other like Northerners. They're like, what?
Yeah, like you got the, like the wildling part of Jon Snow. Maybe it's the new Jon Snow that we haven't seen since the TV show.
This is Jon Snow. He just killed his lady, and now he's just getting wild thing poon of the Northern Wall. What? It's Kalan and George. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, you want to weigh in on who has the most pressure on them for Thursday Night Football? You can at 713-780-3776 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Man, the Colts benching Anthony Richardson, I thought it was a smart move yesterday, and now I'm starting to wonder with the way it's being handled. You're going to hear some audio coming out of a very messy Colts locker room. The AFC South is so bad. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We got a caller who wants to weigh in on the Texans, 713-780-3776. On Galant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, YouTube at ESPN 975. Wait, at ESPN Houston, on George at ESPN 975. Jerry, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? I got 2 points. One, I think the Texans will win tonight. It's going to be an ugly game. I'd say 16-13 with Paimi hitting the game winner. And the second, my second point is, I understand, the NFL changes so much. Just a month ago, or a little bit more than that, the Saints were 2-0, and they were talked all over ESPN. We're 6-2. We should be happy as a football team. I understand everyone wants to be 8-0 and be more like the Chiefs, but we're 6-2, and we're in good standing. Now, I understand the upcoming draft. You know, in theory, we should be drafting O-line and receiver. But in years past, we've drafted Nick Martin, Deuce Scruggs, and Xavier Suafilo. Like, how much trust do we have in Castillo, in his scouts, and in the coaching staff to get these guys to play at the great level?
Good question. I don't have faith in the coaching staff right now, I'll be honest. I don't. I mean, you got two guys who are very highly paid on the outside of your offensive line who are playing well, too, per the Pro Football Focus metrics. I do not trust Chris Strauser as the head offensive line coach. I just don't. As far as the evaluation with Nick Caserio to this point, I don't feel great about it. I do think the draft is a bit of a crapshoot, so you kind of just roll the dice on some guys, but it has not gone so well.
Yeah, I mean, they do seem to keep finding gems. I mean, Drew Scruggs has been a good contributor for this team, so is Jerry Patterson.
But is he a gem, you know? Like, he's a second-round pick, Scruggs.
That's true. So I guess it's more like, I mean, obviously, Nico
Patterson's been like a contributor as a later round draft.
Now, Nico, he got in the third round.
Nico's his best pick.
By far.
I think it's fair, because I think Kasari's been a good drafter
yeah.
in Houston. I think it's fair to say, do you trust him drafting offensive linemen?
Yeah.
Considering his biggest miss out of any position is Kenyon Green.
Mm-hmm.
And picked in the first round.
I mean, they decided to lock up Titus, and we'll see how that plays out. And they locked up Tunsil again. The acquisition of Shaq Mason was very good, but yeah. he already kind of knew that. It was a.
I think it's good. I don't know, very good. But really? Anyway,
yeah. I mean, I feel like he's the one guy we never talk about. That's kind of why. why I put it into the very good category.
Fair counterpoint.
Like we never mentioned Shaq Mason. he's just like good. So it's like. Well, honestly, if you're an offensive lineman, if we don't talk about you, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Like, the only time we should talk about offensive linemen is you're putting someone on their ass. And you're just like, you're fighting someone because they tackle your quarterback like this kid from the kid from the Chargers we talked about the other day. Like, I don't ever want to talk about offensive linemen. Yeah, it means they
either.
Suck.
I don't either.
I think some of what we talk about with Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil, it's like, you kind of will make the trade-off for how good they are with the shortcomings with Tunsil being the penalties, although he was really pushing the line with how many penalties you're willing to accept.
And then
with Titus Howard, I feel like a lot of the reason we talk about Titus Howard is A, him moving to left guard, which is more of a Kenyon Green issue, or him on social media.
Yeah.
That's really, like, and then you have Mason, who, yes, Mason is the guy we talk about the least.
So, I think those are fair questions, and I agree with what Jerry said. Hey, look, they are 6-2, and we've been saying it all year. The win over the Bills is a good one. It has aged very well, though. The Bills are better now with Amari Cooper, but I think a lot of people see things, and you just can tell that at the end of the year, at some point, they're going to rear their ugly head because they've been rearing their ugly head in every single game, and you have not played a team on the level of the Chiefs or Ravens to this point. You'll play them at the end of the year. We'll have a, I guess, better barometer of what they can do, and then potentially you'll play them again in the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs, and I mean, that's really all you need to do ultimately, but unless they beat the Lions, I'm not going to tell Texans fans anymore, like, you need to appreciate it. Like I did a couple of weeks ago. You did need to appreciate the Bills win, but the last couple of weeks, there's been things left to be desired, whether it's coaching decisions that cost you against Green Bay or this past game where you shot yourself in the foot a lot, and Anthony Richardson's the reason you won.
Do you like the ESPN.com matchup predictor?
No, I don't. I unsubscribed from their insider program. I can't even see any of their website anymore.
So they just do a percentage. It's a 100% circle chart.
Yeah, it's just the win percentage.
Win percentage
pre-game.
Chance before the game. Right now they have the Lions as a 60.9% chance to win the game.
Almost.
It's kind of a nice.
And on November 10th?
On November 10th.
Okay.
So with what you're saying, that's the game that I'm kind of focused on already.
Well, like, we can. We're
I know.
I know.
You got to beat the Jets. But that's the one where it feels like
you're getting greedy. Right,
we're going to learn a lot about who the Texans are.
Very confident Texans fan. No, but that is the game where, I mean, at least this NFC North game is at home, and you've won the NFC North game that's at home. But the other two games you've played in that division have been losses. One brutal, the other one close, but your quarterback threw for under 90 yards.
Let's talk about what a mess the Colts are right now to make us feel better. All right, let's go around the South Side.
Time to take a ride around the South Side of the AFC with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The South Side, yeah. The South Side, the South Side. Everybody do the South Side.
So, Shane Steichen benched Anthony Richardson yesterday, and the interactions that he had and Anthony Richardson had with the media after said announcement don't sound great. Here is Shane Steichen being asked if Richardson will ever start again.
Do you think Anthony will start for this franchise again?
I can't predict that, but I'm not losing faith in that. I promise you that.
Is that the plan?
I can't predict the future, but I mean, that would be great. We'll see.
I mean,
just say yes or no. I mean, that's a no. That's a no.
It's a no?
That's definitely a no.
Okay.
I can't predict a future is a tough thing to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steichen was also asked if the locker room is unified. Here's what he had to say.
The locker room is unified, Mr. City?
I can't speak for our team.
It doesn't sound good.
Well, we know why he can't speak for
the Colts should learn how to lie. I mean, Richardson, after the game on Sunday, this? By the way, here's Richardson being asked if Shane Steichen gave him an explanation for benching him.
Shane made the decision to switch quarterbacks. How did he explain it to you? Like, why was the decision made? How did he explain that to you?
He just told me that they were going to go with Joe, you know, and that was that. And, you know, I just had to, you know, just take the information and just, you know, just grow.
Did he explain why?
No, not necessarily.
What does that mean? You didn't... Not necessarily. Why don't you say no?
Hey, man, you tapped out. Hey, man, your completion percentage is under 50%. You get hurt too much. Any of those reasons would have worked?
I'm wondering what they told him if they say not necessarily. Because no would mean there was no conversation at all.
Yeah, like, Anthony sits down. Hey, man, we're starting Joe Flacco this week. And then you can go hit the showers.
Yeah.
Like, is that what the conversation was?
No, we think Joe Flacco gives us the best chance to win. So, coach, okay, see you later. Yeah. So what do I need to do to improve? Eh.
No, Joe's coming in right now.
We'll get that later.
Yeah, I got to talk to Joe. You got to go.
More from the Colts locker room. Michael Pittman found out about this on social media.
Yeah, well, no wonder Shane Steichen can't explain what his locker room thinks.
Yeah,
he didn't tell the players.
He didn't tell them. Hopefully he told them after that.
Like, you're not going to tell your players ahead of time? Your wide receiver who just paid a lot of money to that his quarterback's changing? Mm-hmm. This is a sign of a dysfunctional franchise.
Yeah. Amazingly, though, in the AFC South, that's not that dysfunctional. Did you hear Brian Callahan this week? Brian Callahan said, I'm not at all dissuaded from my vision for the Titans. Bro, you ain't going to be here next year, I would think. I think the Mike Vrabel vision of being competitive was a better one, personally. Meanwhile, you got Calvin Ridley, who had 10 catches for 143 yards, saying that I should have games like Sunday every week. They lost 52-14.
Where you got the ball?
They lost 52-14, and he's talking about his effing numbers. Mm-hmm. My God. Wide receivers, man. They can't help. I also saw a story about, like, Will Levis being benched. Oh, being rested is going to help him out a little bit. Like, what, is he a little tyke?
He puts his body on the line.
Tapping out.
Hey, you know what? Will Levis don't tap out.
No. He needs to tap out.
He needs to tap out.
He would have, like, four less interceptions if he tapped out every once in a while.
Throw the white flag for him. Like, my gosh.
Yeah. He's also in Baker Mayfield mode, too, where he's got commercials going on and everyone wants them to go away.
Yeah.
Also, but like, Baker was the first pick. Too many commercials.
And he made the playoffs the year before. Like, yeah. He was good, and then he wasn't and was in every commercial break.
Baker won Rookie of the Year, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
And then he's got a Heisman.
Yeah.
Will Levis has mayonnaise. I don't need them all.
And he eats banana with the peel.
Yeah, he has like a couple funny internet jokes.
Yeah. Like, why is he on all these commercials?
And on top of that, a tape of him was released, too. Wow. So. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Maybe once he, you know.
But he's dating someone from The Bachelor now, so it's okay. He found love in a hopeless place.
He is like the most Nashville quarterback.
He is.
You could ask
for. Honestly, enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can, Will.
It won't last.
Enjoy it while you can.
Honestly, it might be over already for you.
Yeah, he's gonna be in some absolutely like depressing football town next, like Cincinnati, as like a backup. We will get to Dom and Jersey on the other side. The Houston Texans are still 2-point underdogs. Does that make any sense to you? Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.